Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael.
This is David.
And this is Keith.
All right, so today is Sunday, January 22nd. I've had a verse on my heart today, and it actually came on me last night, and I was typing it, and wanted to be sure to say it today. And it's, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That just spoke to me last night, and I don't know exactly why, but, you know, he put it on my heart, and he wanted me to say that today. You know, we kind of got some current events going on. My microphone don't want to stay in place, but Keith, what kind of current events we got on your side over there?
It's raining.
Yeah, we got a little bit of rain today. A little wet outside.
Got a thunderstorm on its way, looks like.
It dropped a tornado over in Adel.
Really?
Yeah. So we're in the path just south of what they got projected for it. Right. But as far as current events, we was, you know, we want to remember Amber's Aunt Alicia and Uncle Glenn. It's Uncle Glenn that, you know, that we were praying for today in church. You know, they didn't expect him to make it through last night, but he did. I hadn't got any updates. Mama wasn't here today at church because she was feeding them. And, you know, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And Laura Lee had
a baby announcement. They announced that Laura Lee will have a daughter. We don't have a name for that daughter yet.
Sometime in July.
In July.
Yeah, I think Elizabeth's hoping it's around her birthday, the 19th, so no pressure.
But, you know, we reached out and had a special guest request. We requested for this special guest, and you know, she's been in our prayers a lot lately and over the years, and I think she's had some turnarounds that, you know, we wanted to get her on here and kind of talk to her a little bit. So, Keith?
Well, it's always fun, I guess, to get to talk to Michaela. So tonight we're gonna talk to Michaela. She's on FaceTime with us. We get to see her, and she's looking at us. So, but we always ask some questions of our guest, and Michael has a couple of questions that he asks everybody.
Yeah. I guess I can go ahead.
Yeah, you can go ahead with those.
I'll get you warmed up here, Michaela. So, in this season, what is a Bible verse that is on your heart that comforts you, and can you explain why?
So, I'm really bad on the spot, but I would say these three things remain: faith, love, and hope. And I don't even know if that's the entire verse, but, you know, when it comes down to it, that is the truth, and that is helpful in every season. Like, each season may look different, but those words are always true and always bring comfort to me.
Good deal.
Yeah.
So where are you at tonight? Tell everybody where you're at.
I'm in Oklahoma City at home in my bedroom.
Good deal.
Let's tell everybody who Michaela is.
Michaela is my niece.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to sound weird. She is my baby older sister's middle child but oldest daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Christy's daughter.
It's Christy Larson, Hughes Larson. And I've always joked, since I don't have anybody younger than me, that Christy's my baby sister, and I really mess people up because a lot of people know she's 11 years older than me. So, but yeah, this is Michaela.
From Oklahoma.
Yeah, we're supposed to be getting snow soon, so.
You can keep that out there.
Yeah, I wish we didn't have to.
So, another question that I ask of our guest usually is, you know, if you could talk to every child, future child or future grandchild, great-grandchildren, someone, you know, what would you tell them about where your faith came from, and what would you want them to know about your faith?
Okay, so my faith came from family, and not just my immediate family, but the extended family that we have. And I don't feel like a lot of people understand or even get to experience the kind of family that we have, because we're all spread out, but we're all so close at the same time.
Sure.
So, you know, Papa was a pastor. I was raised, you know, in the Word of God around it. But not only that, but my family, I got to see that play out through my family. And that has made a very big impact on me and probably a lot of other people. But yeah, what was the second part of the question?
What would you say to any future
generations?
Just to find something to grab onto and that you can relate to. Like, there's a lot of scripture and parables that you can relate to, even if it's not the exact situation that's going on.
Yeah. And for everybody out there that's going to be listening, how old are you?
I'm 25.
Okay. At 25, a lot of people know Michaela's history. But kind of start us off with where your health journey started.
Okay. So I would say it started around 2013. I had a shoulder surgery, and they went in, and I had not had any kind of specific injury or anything, and they went in, and they're like, this is like the shoulder of like an 80-year-old. Like, we don't know what's going on, but we'll clean it up and you'll be good to go. So that happened, and that was kind of a telltale sign that there was more going on, but we just didn't realize it. And so just years after that, my health deteriorated quite a bit, to the point where I was in bed, couldn't go to school, could sometimes not even really lift my head out of the bed. And then that went on for years. We moved out to Oklahoma City and to be with my dad's family, not in search of doctors or anything like that, just to be with family. And we came across a really, really good doctor who was doing research in some of the issues that I had going on, which led to me being able to receive treatment that definitely improved my quality of life and probably saved it. And then through that, I still had issues, and we found some genetic things and structural abnormalities in my body that were very risky. We just didn't realize. So I had a couple surgeries to help with that, and I'm recovering from the latest surgery right now.
Which was,
they didn't know exactly what they were getting into going into that surgery, but it was in Salt Lake City, Utah, and they ended up removing my kidney, separating my pancreas from my intestines and from that kidney, and then repairing my intestines and some arteries in there. But the very, very cool thing is that even though I could not keep that kidney because of my structural damage and abnormalities and stuff like that, a girl named Fobby was able to get the kidney, and she's doing great now.
That's awesome. That is really awesome.
And there's a lot of technical things that go into that, like how could I keep it or how could I not keep it, but then how was she able to receive it? And they had to use cadaver veins and arteries to create new veins and arteries for that kidney. And since she would already be on rejection medicine and stuff, that was an option for her. So, and it's working great in her. We talk very often, and obviously it's been bumpy, but yes, she got the kidney and it's working, and her life has turned around quite a bit, I would say.
So what is the technical doctor terms name of what's going on?
So one of the genetic things they don't even really have a name for, and it's still kind of being researched, but the other is Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and that is a connective tissue disease, and your connective tissue is in everything. Your muscles, your bone, your immune system, all kinds of stuff, your skin. So mine does not, it has the right things to make, like it's a recipe and it has the right things, but the product comes up. That's the best way to explain it. So, the collagen doesn't produce what it's supposed to produce.
I gotcha.
And that's, you know, we were talking about that, and I think it goes back before the shoulder surgery, but you were very active. You played sports, you did all this, and you were jogging one day, and you passed out in front of Elizabeth's grandma's house, my wife's, my grandmother-in-law's house, and she blacked out. And that was it didn't make sense. And that was kind of the start.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, the down of the weakness and not being able to stand. And people say, like, well, did you just get deconditioned or what happened? And I was like, no, I was active when all of this started happening. So that wasn't the case. I remember that very clearly.
Yeah. And she has received some top-notch medical. Part of this has been POTS. The doctor in Oklahoma that was researching POTS, which is connective cardiovascular research. And, you know, we look at things and, well, why'd they have to move to Oklahoma? I don't know. There's a lot of things that we look at and we question, and God says, well, I'm just going to shake it up a little bit. But he put her right in the middle of OU Children's, which, funny side note is, that's where I had my skull surgery when I was 5 years old, in the same hospital. So what else is going on? I see you're going to get back into your writing on.
Yes, I'm going to try to. I had started writing originally when we first moved out here, and it was kind of just more of therapy, I would say, probably for myself, just to process stuff. But You know, when you go through things, God uses that to help other people. And that was just very heavy on my heart to start that again and give people the opportunity to be touched or moved in that kind of way.
Well, we're going to try to help to hold you accountable to that.
Yeah.
You hold us accountable because we're, you know, all this, using social media, podcasts, yeah, blogs, is what we're learning is it's not about the numbers.
No.
It's about the quality of the ministry that we're able to do
through it.
I mean,
the opportunity it gives to share his word, like, in ways that weren't possible years ago, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I would give to be able to go back and hear grandma talk on this or grandpa, you know? It's kind of the one of the reasons that I wanted to do something like this was so people could, or my kids, their kids, their great grandkids wouldn't be able to hear us, you know?
Right. That's so.
But, you know, we're reaching out to different ones wanting to, you know, get different stories. So can you tell me maybe one of your first recollections of the farm, of getting to play at the farm?
A lot, but the ones that stand out to me are the Christmas Eves that we would have out there, because everyone was there. I felt like it was like an all-day event. We could just go run and play in the barn and the hay, and then we would play manhunt, which was like hide and seek in the dark, and it was just, I know we looked forward to that every year. And I'll always have those memories of.
Well, we did something right because she's a generation behind us and she just explained what we experienced.
Yeah, exactly. We did the same things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to even explain or use the right words so that people can understand what it was like to. But I'm just so thankful that I was able to.
Hey, David, you got anything?
Well, to hear Michaela's thinking about the farm, you know, it reminds me of when a few of us got together and decided to do the 4th of July at the farm. It had been several years, you know, that had passed since we had had anything at the farm. And it was our kids that were missing it, you know? And we decided to just get together on 4th of July. And people don't realize it takes a lot of work to do that, to put something like that together.
For this size family, anyway.
Well, you know, the first year, we were going to boil peanuts, right? That's something that we've always done. We eat boiled peanuts in South Georgia. Well, we had to boil like 5 bushels of peanuts that year, and we ate all of them.
Have eaten more.
We would make homemade ice cream. And it was just about getting together. That's all it was for.
Hearing those electric turns turning and
hearing Michaela talk about coming to the farm, that, you know, that's what it was all about. That makes it worthwhile.
Yeah.
And it, you know, makes me think that we need to do more.
For sure.
Because there's a whole, you know, Michaela, how old did you say you were?
25.
25, right?
Yeah.
So there's a whole new crop
coming
of kids that are here and are coming. Here,
yeah. Yeah. But there's more.
And if we don't, you know, put something on at the farm, then they won't have a reason to come.
Well, we're working on that.
Yeah.
We're working on some things, trying to get things put together to make that happen. Do what?
But I'll always come back.
Yeah. Keith?
It's to hear Michaela give these accounts, and I can say I've talked to her in the hospital. I guess, what was it, 8-9 years ago we came out for Thanksgiving?
Yes.
They had been out there a couple years, and we loaded up, and we went and took Micah and Logan, and when we got there, Michaela had a short stint in the hospital, and we went up there, but every time I talked to her, unless you ask her, you don't know what she's going through. And it's not that she's scared of it. It's not that there's the unknown, but it's just her light is so bright from what I see. She doesn't want to bring anybody else down.
Yeah, I get that.
Because of her predicament. And yes. What I've seen is when she is able to share with people, she really lifts them up.
Yeah.
I hope so.
And you do. Yeah. You encourage us, you know, so much. I'm thankful that I get to be the uncle that's sitting on the sidelines in the stands cheering her on, you know, because the grace with which she has met every challenge physically that the enemy's brought against her, unless you know it, you don't know it. And it would be real easy for her to get down and go, I'm through.
Oh, yeah, she's a pure fighter.
Right. So the ministry that she is able to just looking in on, I think that's what encourages me so much, thinking about that.
All right.
And who I am today, like, my family plays a very big part in that. And like I said, not just my immediate family, but my extended family too. So I hope everyone knows that I definitely would not be who I am today without y'all and all the prayers and encouragement, and I mean all the behind the scenes that goes on too. I can feel it, and I would not be who I am today without that.
For sure. So we're kind of bouncing questions around and going different directions and everything, but tell me a memory that you have of Grandma Bowen.
I remember her singing multiple times, but one that sticks out to me was she really couldn't even talk that much, or, you know, really didn't maybe have it in her to talk that much, but she would sing and she would rock back and forth. And we would sit down in front of her, and I know it was, I can't remember exactly what song it was, but that will always stick out to me, and I'll forever remember that.
And same thing about Grandpa.
Grandpa. I remember I interviewed him once for like my social studies class, and I wish I could remember more of that, and maybe I can find that somewhere. But I also remember him always being out there picking up the pecans, like in trouble because he probably shouldn't have been out there alone, but he would still go and pick them up in that big yard and do whatever he could still do.
Right. So you said you interviewed him. Did you do that audio or did you write the questions and write the answers?
I know I definitely wrote it down, but possibly audio, like on an old cell phone. And I really need to look into that and see if I can find it, because
that would be awesome.
I'm sure Mom has at least the written part of it somewhere. And I don't know about the audio, but
just check it out if you could.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we could surprise David with something like that.
That would definitely be worth watching.
Yeah.
You got a story, David?
A story. What kind of story do you want?
Well, I mean, of.
Well, I just say more of a comment. To Michaela, I want you to know that you are an inspiration to not only the cousins that are your age group, but your aunts and your uncles, your grandparents. You're an inspiration to everybody. And you have a great story to tell, and I just want to encourage you to keep sharing it.
Thank you. And it's all God, it's not me. But I appreciate that a lot, and it's nice to have encouragement or for y'all to reach out and like wanting to know more or to encourage me to continue sharing, because the devil, you know, he'll always say, oh, you're sharing too much, or it's not going to come across the right way, or, you know, all the different lies that he likes to say and put in your head. So the encouragement is very helpful and appreciated.
Well, just always go back to Ephesians 6, 12 through 19. Put on your whole armor of God.
Yes.
And study that.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit will put the words in your mouth that you need to say.
Yeah.
Well, and true to our way of doing things, I did reach out to you earlier today, but about an hour and a half ago, you actually said, what do you want? And I said, would you be willing? See, we don't like giving people a lot of time, because when we do, they kind of talk themselves out of it. But we found out that it's not really as bad as people imagine it to be.
No, it's not. It's not at all. And you get their true answers like that, too.
Yeah. Well, well, if we want you to know that if you ever have anything in the future that you want to share with us, if there's any breaking news or anything like that, call us up and we'll set up for a podcast that we can break the news to everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we haven't done that yet. That'll be one of our goals.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, whatever the news is. Yeah.
You really never know.
Hey, that's right. I mean, see, if we could have planned it yesterday, we could have had live breaking news of the gender reveal. You know, but we didn't get that one planned. So, but yeah. But do you have anything else you want to share with us?
I do, and it kind of ties into everything, but it's about grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything that happened this summer, you know, you hear focus on him, turn to him, rely on him, and like you hear that and you know what those words mean, but when you see that, like in real life, especially in the situations that were happening this summer, it just touches you in a different way. And I would ask grandma, like, is there anything you need? And that was probably not the right question to be asking during that time. But I remember she shared with me once that when she would get anxious or stressed or sad, she would just, you know, internally not, and she probably spoke it or sang it too, but she would just repeat Bible verses and or a song or anything like that, and how it would shift her focus, and not necessarily that she wasn't still experiencing those things, but her outlook and perspective was a lot different when she chose to do that. And she would be singing by Papa's bed, I mean, for hours. And I mean, she could be doing so many other things. And then I know, like, when she got home and was alone, like, just the fact that she still chose to do that and share it, that's something that will always stick with me and something I will always remember. And it inspired me to, like, do the same thing in situations where it's unexpected news or not the news that you want or the what ifs, just finding that Bible verse and focusing on that and allowing God to have control over your mind.
Absolutely. And it wasn't that Mom was disassociating with the situation at hand. It was that she was reaching out to God for the strength that she needed through the circumstances.
Yes. And she was trying to do that instead of, you know, staying in that kind of mindset or dwelling on
other things. Dwelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And instead of that, she was dwelling on God. And that, I know that's probably so simple and I can't really explain to the fullest effect of how it touched me, but it was just really, I was really grateful to see that through her.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth said something this morning in church that you're actually starting to work out again.
Yes, I am.
And for those of you that are going to be listening, she is beaming right now, telling us that on FaceTime, because she longs to do that. She loves to exercise and stuff. And so for her to be physically where she feels good about it and wants to do it is much appreciated.
It is. And I didn't know if I would ever honestly be able to again, for a lot of different reasons. And the gym is, it allows me to use my body, which, first of all, when I am able to do that, I'm so thankful for and grateful for, but it's my quiet time, like one way that I get in really good quiet time, and God speaks to me so much while I'm in the gym or while I'm working out, and it's just good to be back and to even be able to do that again. So, and one thing, butterflies, have been a really big sign for me since Papa got diagnosed and went through all that. And every time I go there, like, they have butterfly stickers, like, all over, and they'll change them out and get new ones. Or I'll be in the parking lot, and it's, like, just asphalt, like, no grass or anything, and I'll have one on my car, or just little things like that. So it's a blessing for sure, and it's a blessing that I'm able to get back into it.
So, bread in the Word of God.
Yes.
In your generation, your age group, social media, are you thinking about having some webcast or anything?
So I had a blog website, and it's probably still out there, that I want to start using again. And then social media, it's so good because it does give you the opportunity to share God's word to a lot of people. And I know it can also be kind of toxic in ways if you allow it to be. So I want to make it a point to use it for sharing God's word and not allowing it to be that toxic thing for someone.
Right. You want to share, you want to share with the folks where they might could go see that blog?
Yes, I'll have to look. I'll put it in my Facebook once I find it.
Okay.
And we will share your Facebook with our Facebook.
Okay, yes.
And then you can share us with your friends.
Yes, that sounds good. And I'll try and get the link in a post or something, or when I share y'all's page.
Okay.
So I hear something just off the hip that, you know, kind of come to me this morning. Sorry, Elizabeth, for not getting the mic turned on in time and the guitar mic turned on in time, but I was typing something out that it come to me. And that was this morning during church. But I've heard and read on social media in places where some people have quoted, and they're saying that you're not going to heaven. They say this to some folks. You're not going to heaven because of the people you hang around with. That's so far off.
Yes.
In it is. Certain contexts. Now, yes. If you're hanging around with them doing what they're doing, then yeah. You may be.
Yeah.
But, you know, didn't Jesus hang out with the,
exactly.
You know, and, you know, didn't he spread the gospel by being in the bad crowd?
Yeah. Loving people.
Right. Showing love.
Their background is.
But, you know, I think I can't remember who it was that told me this, but Crowder actually goes to the bars. He might have a drink, but that's where they're talking about Christ loud enough for everybody else to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not saying go to the bar and that's what you need to do is be drinking and sharing the word, but we need to be in those places like that, sharing our thoughts and our accounts and a message, you know. So that was, you know, I read that this morning and it hit home. You know, we're not just because we hang around church going folks. Is that the rain?
That's the rain.
But anyway,
And I think it goes back to relationship. You know, when we are able to sit down and say, hey, look, we're not agreeing to disagree. We're disagreeing on things, but we can still stay in the same room. we can still communicate. And I think that's where you're going with your, you know, social media being toxic. Everybody's trying to get isolated in their own corners and stay away from each other. Well, when you look back at Christ's life, he was about getting out, and he did. I mean, he would tell the disciples and the apostles, "Hey, I've got this to do. Either you're going to come with me, but don't tell me that I shouldn't be doing it."
Right.
And I think that's where we've got to get to as far as all this goes, is we've got to be able to fellowship, have relations, relationships outside of the church, so that we're influencers and not being influenced.
Right. So I keep looking down at this book, the cookbook again. You know, we had Julie read from the cookbook when she was on here, and she read, you know, what Grandma said to wanted all of the grands to hear and her children to hear. But this is in the family cookbook as well. It's the Ten Commandments for Good Living. And number one is speak to people. There is nothing so nice as a cheerful word of greeting. Number two is smile at people. It takes 72 muscles to frown and only 14 to smile. Call people. Sweetest music to anyone's ears is the sound of his or her own voice or own name.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice when you talk to Julie, she's going to say, before she starts talking to you, she's going to say your name.
Mm-hmm.
Even in text messages, she makes you say it to yourself.
Yeah.
So be friendly and helpful. If you would have friends, be a friend. Be cordial. Speak and act as if everything you do is a genuine pleasure. Be genuinely interested in people. You can like almost everybody if you try. Be generous with praise and cautious with criticism. That's hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's very hard for me. Be considerate with the feelings of others. There are usually three sides to a controversy: yours, the other person's, and the right side.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Be alert.
Be
alert to give service. What counts most in life is what we do for others. Mm-hmm. And the last one, add to this a good sense of humor, a big dose of patience, plus a dash of humility, and you will be rewarded manyfold. So, I wanted to put that out there because, you know, I was going to read it last week when we was talking to Jeffers, but, you know, how the things happen the way that they're supposed to, and or the way that he wants us. I don't know. Most of y'all don't know, but before we start these things, we pray, and we ask for the good Lord to, or the Holy Spirit, to put words in our mouth that we speak to somebody directly. And I guess, well, Michaela got to kind of sit in on that prayer with us this time, but it's not something that we don't come in here prepared to talk about, really anything. I have to make notes in case there's dead space or whatever. I'm gonna create some conversations, but the good Lord pretty much walks us through these whole podcasts.
Yeah.
We're on his agenda. And what we've learned is that when we try to impart our agenda into it, there's room for controversy.
Yeah.
But when we seek to find out what his agenda is, there's a lot more humility amongst us. And so I think, Michaela, you're a good example of what we strive to be in the situation that we see you in. And for nothing more than us three to sit around, we just wanted to let you know how much you encourage us. And I'm partial, I'm your uncle and all, but the example that you've been to Lizanne is, there's no way to put it into words, really, you know. But you've not only been an example to my daughter, you've been an example to so many.
Mm-hmm. Including my daughter.
Yeah. You don't make me cry.
Well, hey, we cry. We keep a box of Kleenexes, see?
Yeah, you want to borrow one?
So, but yeah, you were on my mind today through church, and I'd already started thinking about it, so...
Michaela, did you listen to the podcast with your mama that we did with your mama?
Yes, I did listen to that. It's been a few weeks. It was Christmas.
Did you know that you were the answer to prophecy? Did you know that before that?
I had not ever heard that story. I knew that my mom was not supposed to be able to have kids, and she had three. But I had not ever heard that. And
well, you are, and that, yes, you know, that speaks volumes that, you know, you're here because you're supposed to be here. Everybody's here because they're supposed to be here. Right. But does that put any pressure on you, knowing that you and your siblings are the answer to prophecy, and you know, that God said you were going to be here before you were here?
It does, but it also doesn't, because it's all Him. It's not me. It's not Micah. It's not Lauren. It just so happened that when He showed out and chose to bless someone, that we ended up being a part of that plan. So... but it's very comforting. And when I listened to that episode, you know, having an incurable or chronic, whatever, you know, a lot of people deal with things like that. Scientifically, that is what it means scientifically, but God's over science, and He's over, like, we weren't supposed to be here scientifically,
mm-hmm.
but That doesn't mean that it can't happen. And it's very comforting, and it's a balancing act, because I 100% believe if it's God's will for me to be completely cured, that will happen. But I also know that He can use what I'm going through to also touch people and lead people to Him.
Most definitely.
That takes a lot of the pressure off, and just reminding yourself, like, it's not me, it's Him, and we just have to be obedient and allow Him to lead us, you know?
And there is some scripture that backs up what you just said, that obedience does lead to a long life. Now, it doesn't say that it's going to be pain-free and it's going to be without hiccups. So for you, the encouragement is, as long as you keep obeying God and carrying out His will, He's got a plan for you.
And that's, you hear that a lot, but just the past few weeks, that has been very evident. And the verse that Michael shared has been very, very, very evident in the situation that's going on with me right now, and even for the girl that got my other kidney. So,
Well, that kidney's covered by grace.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yes.
Even that Grandma Boland prayed over.
Mm-hmm.
Not just your grandma, not just your mom, not just you, but generations.
Yeah.
Are covered by the grace that our Grandma Boland prayed over
us. Oh, yeah. And it's so, so evident. And I wish they could have just seen, like, just 20 years ahead, you know, so that they could see that little glimpse and, like, the payoff of everything that they did for us and invested in.
They could see it.
Well, and what I want to say is this, you know, I always say this, and I people look at me like I'm crazy, but I believe 100% that once you get to heaven, you don't see what's going on here on earth, because you're in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. You know,
you ain't got time for that,
right? But what I feel like is when you experience heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you that everything you did here on earth was so much more important than you ever thought it would be. There's that.
Yes.
I've heard people explain that the way they feel like it's going to be when you get to heaven and the judgment day or whatever is going to be just this like blip, and you feel and see everything you did, you didn't do, whatever. That's the judgment. I kind of feel like that's kind of how heaven is. When you get there in your spirit, you get there and you know immediately that all the things you did over the years in your pursuit of a relationship with Christ was worth it. And yes. Here on earth, we try to verbalize that and say, well, you know, like you did, and I'm not knocking you because I wish. There's the past 6 months, there's been things that's happened, and I wish Daddy could see this.
Yes.
Grandma and Grandpa, you know, those things that we experience here, we wish they could be a part of, but the beauty of it is that they're experiencing something so much more.
Yes. So. Exactly. That's a good... Yes, I agree. And they were confident in what they were praying. So
absolutely.
And that's why I said what I did. They were confident enough to see what is happening now.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was no question in Grandma Bowen's mind
that's right.
That she was doing what God wanted her to be doing.
Yes. And that's the best place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we're at 54 minutes.
Wow.
You've been talking to us for an hour.
That's goodbye.
Yeah. Well.
Anything else you want to add, Michaela?
Just that verse that you shared. Oh, yeah. It's very evident, and
read it all because it got me through a lot.
Yeah.
It trained me to not be scared to speak up.
Yeah.
And that's an important one as well. Because if you dwell on that, I mean, what else really matters?
Right.
I can't look. Anyway, David, you got anything else?
I'm good.
Keith?
I'm just honored that we were able to have her on.
Yeah. Yes, Michaela, thank you.
No, thank you all for thinking of me and always.
And you're the first of your generation to be on.
Yeah.
Well, a word for everyone else, it's not scary.
Thank you.
You won't, will not regret it.
All right. Well, it'll be uploaded sometime this evening.
Yeah.
And Keith can, you know, send you over a, or you'll see it wherever it, on our journey, Facebook or.
Or if you're already subscribed to the podcast, you'll get a notification.
Right. But share it with your friends.
Yeah, I'll share it, and I'll get that link for y'all, too.
Okay.
That'll be me to actually do it.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you, Michaela.
Thank you. I love y'all.
Love you.
See you soon, hopefully.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.